Current State on WKAR. Welcome back. Michigan State University is offering adventurous members of its Alumni Association another chance to visit Cuba later this year. MSUAA has announced its plans to return to the Caribbean island in November. The excursion follows an earlier visit in March that included chances to meet the Cuban people and explore museums and factories and other interesting places. Here to talk about that first Cuban tour and about what's planned for the second, MSU Alumni Association Travel Director Regina Cross. Hi, Regina.
Hello. And it's a pleasure to be here.
It was a pleasure to have you. And Lansing's Mary Dygert, who was on the March trip to Cuba. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
Regina, the Alumni Association is calling this a people-to-people exchange. What does that mean?
Well, people-to-people, it's actually the name of a license that we needed to obtain to travel to Cuba.
Oh.
And that is, we obtained the license from the Department of Treasury Office of Foreign Assets. And so part of the requirements of this license is that the tour needs to be a full schedule of educational and enrichment type activities and not tourist-based activities.
Okay. So that's basically the framework if you want to visit Cuba as an American citizen. Most Americans visit with that framework.
That's correct.
In play. Mary mm-hmm. Dygert, what made you want to visit Cuba?
Well, my daughter talked me into it, actually. She had always wanted to go to Cuba, and so she called me one day and asked me if I wanted to go, and it didn't take me very long to say yes.
And you're glad you made the trip.
Absolutely.
What was the takeaway for you from a visit?
What we learn about Cuba comes from an American's perspective, and I was very interested in seeing the Cuban perspective of politics, of what they think of America.
What did you make of what they think of America? What did they say? What kinds of things did they say?
They were very friendly toward us.
Okay.
We were welcomed at every place. The only place that I saw any kind of anti-American thing was that some of the museums were from a Cuban perspective. For example, the Bay of Pigs Museum and the Revolutionary Museum were both mm-hmm. from a Cuban perspective.
Okay. Regina, are there handlers here on this, or is it clear that the people that you talk to are not prepared to discuss certain topics?
Well, for the most part, you know, during the tour we had opportunities to meet with people and visit like a ballet and meet with students from like a dance studio, or we went to a senior citizens, but those subjects never came up. We did have some people that lectured, but they would talk about the economy. But there wasn't a lot of talk, political talk. It was primarily learning about the people, and that was the main focus, was arts, culture, and having interaction with the people.
But do you think these encounters are managed in such a way that they avoid sensitive topics or topics?
I don't know that they avoid it. I think part of it could be also the language barrier, because a lot of people that we spoke to or asked questions with were the questions were through an interpreter. So the people that were on the tour, I don't think that was their main focus. They were more interested in finding out about the people themselves.
Do many Cubans speak English? Did you run into many, or
some? I can't say a lot.
Okay. Have you found yourself, Mary Dygert, saying to people, "Oh, you should go to Cuba"? After your trip, have you recommended Cuba as a destination to people that you've talked to about your trip?
Yes, I would. If people to people is your kind of trip, yes.
Yeah. It's such an exploratory
yeah.
thing. I mean, travel has opened up in recent years to Cuba. It's not the novelty that it was 10 or 12 or 15 years ago, whatever.
That's correct, but because of the people-to-people licenses.
Yeah.
I think the allure of Cuba is because we have not been able to easily access and go to Cuba. I think that's been the allure of it. And with the people that I've spoke to that signed up for the March trip and are signing up for the November trip, they said, I've just always wanted to go. I've just always wanted to go. So I think it's just more the allure of not being able to go that is in wanting to learn more about the country because they haven't had that opportunity before.
For anybody who's seen the movie, The Buena Vista Social Club, or any number, really, of other movies, it's common to see photos of even modern day Cuba that make it seem like it's frozen in the 1950s, you know, the cars and the architecture. Was that your impression, Regina?
Yes, yeah, very much. Well, to a certain extent. I mean, it's still a very much modern city, but I mean, it is very nice to see the vintage cars. Old Havana, you definitely can see the impact of the embargo because a lot of the buildings are not so much crumbling, but there's a lot of peeling paint and a lot of restoration needs to take place. But you can definitely see how it must have at one point looked beautiful.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's what I loved about Cuba was that.
Did you see a Prius anywhere?
I did not.
The pictures I've seen are just what dominates these photos are these big 50s American cars.
Yeah, and we had the opportunity to ride in them as well. We took a ride. Yeah, that was part of the tour experience. So. Okay.
Mary Dygert, what surprised you about your trip? What did you encounter that you did not expect?
Well, the classic cars were the one thing that. I mean, I had heard that there were a lot of them there, but I think almost half of the cars on the road were the classic cars. And the kinds of cars you'd see at a classic car rally here in the U.S., the 50s Chevys, Fords, even saw DeSoto and a few other names you probably haven't heard. And
it was a dream for the men on the trip because they were like, oh, my God, there's a 57 Chevy.
The best car show I've ever been to.
Yeah. Yes, they absolutely loved that Porsche.
The other thing that I was surprised at is how important the arts play a role in education. That is an extremely important part. And the fact that there's a National Institute for Writers, artists, dancers, musicians, who are paid to do what they do, so they don't have to wait tables or
it's a government underwritten program.
Correct.
To educate people in the arts.
Yes,
correct. But that's part of the education, which is free at all levels. And the literacy rate in Cuba today is 99 plus. In 1961, it was 76%. So tremendous growth in the last 40 years.
We've got less than a minute. Regina, tell us some of the highlights on the itinerary in November.
Pretty much what we experienced in the March trip. Again, we'll be visiting a Jewish center, the Revolution Museum, some art museums. You'll get an opportunity to meet some artists. There's a ballet, and then there's a community, an eco-community in the hills that you'll have an opportunity to meet the people that live there and have an eco-friendly lunch where they grow all the vegetables and food there in the community.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great. MSUAA?
Yes.
MSU alum.
Yes.
.com
yeah.
If you want more information.
Alumni.msu.edu is the website if you'd like more information. And you can reach me at 888-697-2863 if you're interested.
And you might bump into Beyonce and Jay-Z while you're there. You never know.